Go right ahead.
Okay. Good evening and welcome to the Curry Beach Town Council meeting for Monday, July 21st, 2025. This time I need a motion to excuse Commissioner John Ellen from the meeting.
Make a motion to excuse Commissioner Ellen.
A second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All let's please bow for the invocation and then I pledge allegiance. Heavenly Father, lead us tonight in making decisions for our town that we all love and want to see it grow and flourish. Thank you for being ever-giving God for good weather, good homes, and a good place to call a visiting place for all our friends who come to see us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Pledge, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, the first item on the agenda tonight is the approval of the consent agenda items.
Make a motion to approve as presented.
Have a motion and now a second.
A second.
Motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Item four is adoption of the agenda. Any questions or comments? I'll entertain a motion.
Make a motion to approve the agenda as presented.
A second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Next is public comment. The two speakers we have for public comment are related to the quasi-judicial hearing. So we'll hear from y'all during that, so there's no need to speak during the public comment period, unless it's something separate, because we'll be doing that as part of the process. Okay? Thank y'all. We have no presentations tonight. The next thing on the agenda is a quasi-judicial hearing, special use permit for CMS Suites. And just indulge me for a minute as I have some items I have to take care of for this. I'm going to open this hearing at this point. This is a hearing under Town of Curry Beach Code of Ordinances 15.08.080.B. on the application for a special use permit submitted by CMS Suites LLC, the applicant, for the property located at 106 Fort Fisher Boulevard South, Curry Beach, North Carolina. The application seeks a special use permit for a three-story mixed-use development of the property within retail on the ground floor and 10, five on each floor, residential units on the top two levels.
Mayor, if I can make a couple of comments.
Yes, sir.
Just to refresh the board's, the council's recollection, there are four elements that the applicant needs to prove with evidence have been complied with. If the conclusion is that those four elements have been proved, then the applicant is entitled to a special use permit. It's not discretionary. He shall get that. Second thing I'd like to remind the board about is that in granting a special use permit, so long as there are reasonable, appropriate conditions can be imposed on that grant. And then the third thing is, because this property is located in the preservation district, there'll come a point in time with Historic Preservation Commission where the exterior features will be decided, you know, presented and decided upon. But those exterior features, the outside appearance of the proposed development, is not a factor.
Not a factor. No. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. Instructions to council members: in making factual determinations, council members may only consider competent material and substantial evidence from parties who have standing. B. Non-expert opinion testimony, including opinions related to the diminution of property values, or the traffic safety issues may not be considered in making findings of fact. C. Counsel is not precluded from relying on evidence that would not be admissible under the North Carolina Rules of Evidence if the evidence appears to be sufficient, trustworthy, and was admitted under such circumstances that it was reasonable for counsel to rely on it. Counsel shall make findings of fact, identify the evidence supporting each finding. A worksheet has been provided for that purpose, so you should all have that worksheet. Under KVC 15.08.080.B, the applicant is entitled to a special use permit if it proves by competent material or substantial evidence that proposed special use will not materially endanger the public health, safety, or welfare of the proposed property. The meeting all required conditions and specifications under the town code will not substantially injure the value of adjoining property. And four, if developed and used as proposed, will be harmonious and compatible with the area in which it is proposed to be located and is generally consistent with the town's comprehensive plan. F. Council may impose reasonable and appropriate conditions and safeguards when granting a special use permit. Council's decision, G. Council's decision will set forth in writing and delivered to the applicant in accordance with provisions of KBC 12.06.050.J. For the purposes of this hearing, the town attorney will be appearing in an advisory capacity to counsel and not in an advocate for any party. At this time, I need to poll our council members. Each council member shall state whether or not they have a conflict of interest due to direct financial benefits, bias or fixed opinions, undisclosed outside contacts, or a close family or commercial tie. Should such a conflict exist, the council member shall recuse his or herself from the hearing, and council shall vote to excuse that member from voting on the matter. Dennis?
I have no conflicts.
David?
I have no conflicts.
Connie?
I have no conflicts.
And Alan Oliver, I have no conflict. Okay, now we have to administer the administration of oath to all testifying. So if you're testifying, please come forward tonight. And I think Beth will help you there, and I will give the oath.
And before you do that, Mayor, if you could revise the next one down, the testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Benton, what's your first name, Mr. Benton?
Michael.
What's your first name?
Michael.
Michael, please have Michael Benton. I think the logical place to have him appear is after his wife.
After who?
Miss Bethany.
After Bethany, okay.
Nice. There you go. Group up.
Okay, do we have everybody? Just raise your right hand and repeat after me. I swear to tell the truth.
I swear to tell the truth.
The whole truth.
The whole truth.
And nothing but the truth, so help me God.
Nothing but the truth, so help me God.
Nice, yeah.
Okay, the first person testifying will be Beth Chase, our town clerk.
Tonight I am just tendering in the exhibits that you, counsel, and the applicant and his attorneys have already received today, or on Friday. So exhibit one was the updated special use permit application for CMIS Suites. Exhibit two is the updated CMIS site plan. Exhibit three is the CMIS parking plan. Exhibit four is the email regarding the ownership of the property. Exhibit 5 is the notice of the hearing. Exhibit 6 is a certification of posted notice on property. Exhibit 7 is a certification of mail notice. Exhibit 8, which you received today, is the email to the applicant and counsel of the record being sent on Friday, July 18th, 2025. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. Okay, next is the applicant, and y'all can go in any order y'all would like to go in. Just please come to the podium. Jim, do you want name and anything?
Sure, name and ask you to show up.
Name and how, yeah.
Hello, my name is Lake T. Despite sharing being related to the applicant, I'm counsel of record for this project. I'm an attorney in Wilmington, and I recognize many faces here from my summer job working on the beach. You know, just a little way of background. Actually, we have a clicker. Yeah. Just a little way of background. This property is in the B1 zoning district. Every property on that block, including the properties behind us, are also zoned B1. B1 is ostensibly the commercial hub of the town. And based on the 2022 land development plan, comprehensive land development plan of the town of Curry Beach, mixed use zoning is a desirable use. It's one of the most desirable uses in B1. So we want to bring this project on behalf of my applicant, but also as a family member, we want to bring a family friendly, family focused, mixed use retail and residential space. I think it's been mentioned before, but the first floor is going to be retail, two retail storefronts, and then the next two floors are going to have dwelling units on them, approximately 1,100 square feet each, and they're going to be individually metered, is our hope and our goal for now. So, this is the current condition of the property. I'm sure many of you are familiar with it. It's just a parking lot right now. This is somewhat of a plan. This hasn't been locked in, but this is how we want the front to look at the property. Again, it reiterates, it's three floors, two retail fronts, they'll be down here, and then the second two floors are going to be two floors of apartment units. So I know we've gone over this before, but for a special use permit, there are four things that need to be proven by competent material evidence. And that's going to be the use will not materially endanger the public health, safety, or welfare if located or proposed. The use meets all required conditions, specifications, and specifications under the code. The use will not substantially injure the value of adjoining property or alternatively is a public necessity. And if developed and used as proposed, will be harmonious and compatible with the area in which the proposed development is to be located and is generally consistent with the town's comprehensive plan. So there are special requirements to put residential on top of retail. That's why we're here for the special use permit. The only material requirement is that the dwelling, when constructed in conjunction with the permitted use provided such dwellings are an integral part of the main building of such a permitted use. So by right, we can develop retail in this space. What we need, or what we're seeking here, is the allowance to have dwellings on top of the retail. And now I'm gonna turn it over to our engineer with Stroud Engineering. He is a professionally licensed engineer. He's gonna attest to all the required conditions and specifications being met under the town code, as well as this use will not materially endanger public health, safety, or welfare.
Can I interrupt for a
yes.
Have you got a card?
Yes, I do. It is in my.
Can you make sure I get it before we leave? And also, PowerPoint takes this from beginning to end through your all's presentation, correct?
Yes, sir.
Can you make sure that you send a digital copy to?
I already have it, and it will be Exhibit 9 for the record.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And as I didn't ask before, I request that this PowerPoint be presented as evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Luke?
Hi, good evening. I'm Luke Minas from Stroud Engineering. I'm the author of the plans, so happy to take any questions you guys would go along, but I'll try to go over the high points of it. And I believe the next slide is this.
That's the revised site plan?
Yes, sir. This is the current site plan. We've got the 20 required parking spaces, 9x20 dimension along the southern property line. Parking along the front edge of the building is provided as an amenity to retail, but not exclusively for that retail. But they are, I believe, 8 additional spaces plus the ADA. Currently got 2 driveways that are full movement drives, one on the 3rd Avenue and one on the Fort Fisher Boulevard, and then one ingress only driveway along Fort Fisher Boulevard. Buffers are provided around the entire site as required by code. The stormwater for the site, the pre-development featured a hotel and property and parking. We're going to keep the built upon area of the proposed site at or below that previous built upon area, so it will be permitted as a redevelopment through the town's universal stormwater permitting program. We'll utilize, there's at least one that we found via survey, and are going to look for some more connections to the DOT's drainage system, but we'll utilize those or repair and upgrade as needed to make that connection. So the stormwater is going to essentially mirror the historical conditions there. Utility connections will be a mix. We'll have water connections back to the town's public water main and 3rd Avenue. Sewer connection will be made to the town's gravity sewer and Fort Fisher Boulevard. See the driveways on Fort Fisher Boulevard, as well as the sewer connection will require NCDOT driveway and utility encroachment agreements. I apologize, I should be working off memory, but it's been too long. I think those are the high points, but any questions you have about the layout or the proposed permitting or how the site's going to function?
Did you consider impervious stormwater for your parking area at all? Or are you going to consider that in your plans?
I've not considered that. Again, just using the pre-development impervious number, I started there and it was feasible to do this site within that number. I don't know what the ability is, certainly if that's a condition.
It's just a request you consider it. I mean, so stormwater is an issue on Fort Fisher Boulevard. We're doing everything we can. The town has done that both at the Public Works building and at this building and every other thing that we consider at this point. So stormwater is going to be an issue for us. It's just a request that you consider it, right? I know it's a cost factor, so if it doesn't fit in your plan, but if you consider it at the beginning, it doesn't drive up the cost that much, and it could... It's a helpful thing for the town. It's just a question.
It's been used successfully on my projects in Curie Beach in the past. And mm-hmm. Sandy Soles, it works really well. So it's right. Certainly something we'd like to discuss.
Yeah. It's not a requirement, just a question for the project to consider. Okay. That's the only question I have, sir. Okay.
Just to run through a few things as a formality, and again, stop me if there's a question, and I apologize if we've touched on this previously, but to reiterate that the integral part of the main building, residential, is incorporated above the retail all-in-one structure. We've got a 3-foot required buffer strip provided between all residential and existing stuff to the rear and right side of the building. Got a 3-foot setback, which we, I believe, in all cases exceed around the property and the building. requirements, we've met explicitly the 20 required spaces that are 9 foot by 20 foot dimension, and we provide some additional spaces. The ADA spaces are 8 by 18, which is the ADA requirement with an 8 foot van accessible aisle. And then the additional parking spaces for the retail are 9 by 18, which is a traditional parking stall size. Again, those are just above and beyond what's required. The parcel area works out to exactly 25,000 square feet by survey. We are providing 2,500 square feet per unit, so we met our density requirements there. And then we've got a maximum proposed building height of 35 feet, which is at or below the allowable building height. And as I mentioned, the built upon area, the target number of the pre-development is what we're going to cap ourselves at and probably slightly below, and happy to consider some measures to help improve drainage around the town.
Mayor, can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
Apparently there's a pedestrian easement that is going to come up tonight. Can you show us where that is? Maybe on one of your earlier slides that showed the aerial view of the property.
I have looked at the deed deeding the pedestrian easement. It does not put a clear location. Maybe I misread the deed. I believe it to be a floating easement, so long as the property owner can access.
Well, it needs to be addressed more clearly, I think, for the meeting is over. I didn't know if it had a fixed location or a floating location.
I believe it's a floating location, and I will address it next. Okay. So there is a pedestrian easement. The pedestrian easement was deeded back in, I think, 1913, maybe a little bit after that. I believe it requires a 4 foot pathway for ingress and egress through the property. I looked through the town plat books and I looked through the deed, and I could not figure out location. My assumption is when there is no location of the easement, it is a floating easement, so long as the property owner can get to and from. I may be mistaken, and I'm willing to hear out where the pedestrian believes the easement is, where the property owner believes the easement is, but we are committed to having ingress and egress for that property owner through development and after development. This in no way, shape, or form will foreclose the property owner from having a walkable location from his property to Forfeiture Boulevard.
In order to keep it clear for council, when the easement holder testifies, perhaps you could hone in on some questions that make it clear what we're all doing with and kind of address it.
Yes, I'll be open for questions, of course. Next, we're going to have Mr. Tom Morgan testify. Tom Morgan is a property appraiser. He's had more than 20 years of experience. He's very familiar with the area, very familiar with the project, and is well-credentialed to testify to these matters.
Yeah, I have one question.
Yes, of course.
This is categorized as a multifamily dwelling?
Yes.
Okay.
So good evening. My name is Cal Morgan. I'm a North Carolina Certified General MAI appraiser. I've been appraising in our market area, the Wilmington MSA, for about 20 years. Started my business, my company, in 2010. There's not a lot of commercial property in Cary Beach, but I've appraised probably most of it. So I prepared a letter. I'm going to hand it to you when I'm finished to distribute to the members. But I'm just going to read it, keep it concise. J.C. Morton Company is a real estate appraisal and consulting firm based in Wilmington. Since 2010, our firm has appraised and consulted on hundreds of properties throughout North Carolina. The property types we appraise and provide consulting services for include land, residential, retail, office, mixed use, multifamily, and more. Our client base generally consists of banks, local and federal governments, attorneys, utility companies, and property owners. So I was engaged by the applicant to perform research and analysis that would enable me to conclude an opinion as to special use permit condition 3 of the special use permit application. Condition 3 states that the applicant must indicate how the proposed special use will not substantially injure the value of the adjoining property or that the use is a public necessity. To develop an opinion for this requirement, I did the following. One, I reached out to several real estate brokers to survey their opinions on the project and how it would impact the value. I spoke to AJ Singh, Michael Curti, Jessica Keenan, the broker in charge of Nest at Carolina Beach, and Marie Rayner, who actually listed and sold one of the properties directly behind the property we're discussing tonight. All four of them thought the project would enhance the values in the immediate area due to the offering of more commercial services in the immediate area. Every single one of them thought it was a positive for the adjoining properties and for the immediate area. Number two, I reviewed the differences between what the property could be developed by right and compared it to the proposed project and seeing if there was a big difference between what could be developed by right and what the project is proposed, and there's not that much difference. And then finally, I researched several other comparable small retail residential mixed properties in nearby local beach towns to see how they impacted the value of the adjoining properties. I reviewed projects in Carolina Beach, historic Southport, Riceville Beach, and others. Based on the data that I reviewed, there's no indication that the proposed retail residential mixed project would have a negative impact of the value of the adjoining properties. In fact, it's probably more likely that the development will have a positive influence on the immediate area. I have a copy of the letter just for the record.
If you can give that to Madam Clerk, that's number 10, is that right?
That is correct, it's number 10.
I'm sorry?
If you give it to Matt.
Okay. Please. And then a summary. I also have a summary of the various projects that I reviewed.
Any questions?
Well, I guess it relates to the retail space. I should have asked earlier, perhaps. How is the retail space being divided?
Can you clarify a little bit more?
Is it going to be one large retail space or is it going to be multiple units?
It will be two retail spaces.
Two retail spaces in the size, you said?
I believe approximately 3,100.
Probably clarify.
The developer has a lot of knowledge in that than my data.
Maybe some of these business questions discussed for me, but really at this point we haven't pinned down exactly how we want to divide it. And I can maybe give some more color to really what the vision is of this project. If I haven't met you guys, my name is Adam Katib. I'm Sam Katib's son, and I'm very honored to be here and present this all to you. But yeah, as Leif and the previous experts spoke about, we're going to have about two retail spaces on that ground floor. The idea is actually to move the current Islander Quick Mart into that space. During the project development, we'll actually still be operating the Quick Mart. We're the owner of that business as well, if anyone didn't know. But ultimately, once this project is built and ready to be occupied, we want to split that business in two.
Maybe you guys are pretty familiar, but the Islander Quick Mart is kind of a mixture of a convenience store, grocery store, and a beach sundries gift shop. And really what we want to do, what the goal of this is to bring a really good local grocery store to the Curry Beach community. I mean, we carry a lot of things. I mean, we're almost like a mini Walmart in the Curry Beach, but there's so much more we can carry, and that's just a business idea we understand. My father has a lot of experience running grocery stores, everything from 15,000 square foot independent grocery stores to your typical 2,000 square foot neighborhood stores. And we want to bring a really good grocery store that carries a lot more products, products that we know the locals really want, and as well as bring a beach gift shop, a Curry Beach themed gift shop, something where we could carry so much better and cooler Curry Beach souvenirs and sundries. So that's the goal there. In terms of actually the size of each, we haven't outlined exactly how that's gonna look like just yet, but you can imagine that the grocery store will be more than half of that entire about 6,500 square feet of retail space. I can't really give an exact number just yet, but that can help visualize it.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, no worries.
Any other questions? Thank you, Adam.
You have a question?
No. Okay. Thank you, Adam.
No worries.
Thank you, guys. Do we have any questions at this point for me?
Any questions, Joe?
I don't
know. No, I don't think so.
No question.
So I want to testify to the last requirement here. It's that if developed as proposed, the project will be harmonious and compatible with the area in which it is proposed to be located and is generally consistent with the town's comprehensive plan. So this is a quote from the town's comprehensive plan. Says that restaurants, cafes, food markets, retail establishments, particularly small-scale, locally-owned businesses that are compatible with the residential and family-friendly atmosphere in the town of Curry Beach are supported within commercially zoned areas. This is a commercially zoned area. Obviously, this is a family business. And we think that the combination of having residential and retail really hits home for it being family friendly. This is gonna be a place where, you know, we've all been on vacation, you forget something. So if you own the property there, or if you're renting it, or however you may be, you know, using that residential space, there is a location downstairs where you go come grab things. And as my brother spoke to earlier, we want this to serve the Curry Beach community at large, especially our year-round residents. One thing, I don't know if anybody remembers, but when my dad took over the store almost 12, 13 years now, the first thing he did was make the store year-round. And it was a bad financial decision because it doesn't produce the same amount of income. But it wasn't about making the best or most prudent financial decision at every nexus. It was about better serving our community. And we've kept it open year-round every year since. And our vision is to keep the grocery store open year-round as well. And then, as I had mentioned before, mixed-use development is a desired use. It's actually the most desired use in the land development code for this area. So we're trying to stick to that. We're trying to bring life to a mixed-use development here. And we want it to be part of the commercial hub that makes Curry Beach Curry Beach. So, just as a way of, if something is included as a special use permit in the code, it necessarily means, let me make sure this is the right quote. It establishes a prima facie case that if it complies with the comprehensive plan and we meet all four of these requirements we've been discussing here today, that it should be approved. Once we meet those four requirements, the burden moves to somebody who's challenging it, who has to then prove by material competent evidence that one of these four requirements is not met.
So the opposition must have standing. So having standing would mean that they ostensibly suffer some particular harm, generally financial harm, based on the development. So that's necessary to establish standing so that we can speak here today in opposition. And lastly, I had mentioned this, special damages is generally viewed as a reduction in value to their own property. Are there any questions I can take now?
Can I ask a question about the residential part that you're going to have on the two top levels? And I agree with you, I can get a grocery store and a gift shop that definitely fits with the land use plan, where we want something that is family friendly and helps the residents. But the two top levels, is that going to be, I think you said they were about 1,100 square feet each. Is that going to be something that someone could rent year round? Is this going to be affordable housing that would help residents that can't live here? What do you envision it's going to be on those two top levels?
The applicant is considering both potentially year-round housing or summer or like vacation homes. You know, it's going to be determined based on what the finances say, what's achievable, but it is a consideration of ours.
So it's possible that you would sell them as like units, as condos, or it could be rented, could be either way, you haven't decided yet?
Yes, they're being built so that they can be standalone dwelling units. They're not, you know, going to have some kind of connection or shared utilities. They'll have separated utilities so that there will be that optionality to either sell or to rent out to locals year round.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions, Gil?
I don't know.
I don't have any. Dennis?
No, I'm good right now.
Okay, thank you. We're good right now.
Thank you guys so much for your time. Okay. It's been an honor coming before you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, next we have Bethany White, Director of Development and Compliance.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm Bethany White, Director of Development and Compliance, and I'd like to tender into the record Exhibit 11, I believe. This is just a memo from my department going over some of the compliance issues in our local zoning codes.
Application was submitted by CMIS Suites LLC, proposing residential dwellings in the B1 district in compliance with 15.26.20 permitted uses. D, dwelling when constructed in conjunction with permitted uses, provided such dwellings are an integral part of the main building of such permitted uses. And that's what the S indicates. I also attached the permitted uses, which I think you already have, but I attached that to my memo because what we were lacking was the rest of the zoning codes, which setbacks and parking requirements in there. So there's a little bit more than what was in the original packet. The proposed location is currently comprised of three separate parcels. These parcels are currently being used as a parking lot and are in the process of being combined. Once they're combined, they will equal 25,000 square feet, which is the density requirement for what they're proposing as the dwelling unit. The proposed mixed-use three-story building will contain retail on the ground floor and 10 residential dwellings on the second and third floors. Density requirements are 2,500 square feet for multi-unit parcels. So like I said, once they combine the parcels, it will equal the density requirements. The parking required for multifamily residential units is 2 spaces per 2 bedrooms, and the proposed site plan shows 20 reserved parking spaces meeting this requirement. In my opinion, the proposed use will be generally consistent with the town's comprehensive land use plan and will meet all conditions and specifications under the town's code. So they actually have, for parking requirements, they have more than enough. In the B1 district, you're only required to have parking for your residential uses. For the retail spaces, they're not required to have any. They're just going to have some for some extra space. So they're actually above and beyond that compliance. Any questions?
ADA parking requirements are being met there.
Do not have any required, but they are providing 2. So okay. Again, they're above and beyond what's actually required in the code.
Okay. So by the units not being ADA units, then you don't have to have ADA parking? Is that?
They're not required.
Okay. What? I guess we need to have a conversation about garbage collection and what's being proposed. I think on one plan it shows a dumpster site, but is that decided or is that something to?
We've been in conversations about different options that we have, and it'll of course be about what is logistically good for the town and the pickup if we are contracting our garbage and that's something that can be worked out into the conditions.
Okay, and all our other town departments had a opportunity to fire and police and especially fire to go through the site plan.
Participated in plan review. We've got a lot of preliminary things out there with fire that we've been working on and we'll work through those as we go forward.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yes, sir. I guess this will come up later at some point. Again, I'm a little confused since we don't have any exterior drawings, no elevations, and I know this has got to go in front of the Historical Commission.
Mm-hmm.
How do we make a decision here without knowing what to comply with, I think, the fourth component of what we need to address?
This particular application is specifically for a special use permit for the residential usage, since it is the B1 district. So
okay.
That is why they do have several steps to go through and a couple of hearings. This one will be specifically about whether we're going to allow a special use permit for residential dwellings.
Okay. Thank you.
Is that understandable? Yeah, David, any questions?
Yes, sir. No, yeah. No questions.
Any questions?
No questions.
Okay. Thank you. Next, we have Michael Benton, who is a property owner, adjacent property owner, if you would, please, sir.
I have a question, Mayor.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
Can we get, I don't remember if it was the first or the second slide, but there's an aerial view of the property.
Yeah.
Right there in the corner.
This
does. Right there.
And the easement, if anyone remembers when you also spoke to him, sir, this is my property. My easement would be right through there, starting there and coming down.
Thank you. Presentation. Can you ingress and egress 5 motor vehicles? Do your property? I mean, I don't understand the easement. Do you have
that? It's a pedestrian.
It's a pedestrian.
Are you able to drive a vehicle in and out of your property?
It's a front yard.
No, I'm asking in general. Can you drive a vehicle in and out of your property?
No. Well, I can, but only by going through the parking lot.
You got a pedestrian easement. Is that mean you don't have any vehicles?
I do. I can park in the front of my house.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, my name is Michael Benton, and the reason I'm here is because of this pedestrian easement that Sam is aware of. I gave him a copy of it 2 or 3 years ago, but it's just now seems like surfacing today.
Do you have copies of your documents that you have in your hand?
I just showed you.
I know you showed me. Do you have copies that I can retain?
Yes, sir. You can have this one.
All right. How about the deed? You sure you don't need these?
That's right. Those are copies. I have the originals.
All right. Thank you.
Jim, that will be exhibit 12 and 13.
Which one do you want? You want the order and judgment to be number 12, and the warranty to be number 13.
Yes, please.
Okay. And that's my only reason I'm here is for this easement. And plus the fact they say that it's not going to reduce the value of my property, but I'm going to be looking at a 35-foot building right out the back of my house. I don't know if any of y'all would like to have that out the back of yours. I'm in the historical district. My house is old. This easement has gone to court when Nelson's Motel was there. Mm-hmm. And he actually added a little wooden platform on the back of the pool to make it go in compliance after he lost the case. I don't want to upset the whole apple cart. Sam's been a good neighbor to me. I just don't understand why I'm just now hearing about this when you knew about it. You said you knew about it, but you know now you're saying, let's move the easement. But why didn't you come to me before we're here now?
Jim, I'll ask you a question.
Okay.
Ask Jim a question. Jim, is this the conversation we need to be having tonight? He's presented his information to us.
Yeah, I don't know if this is the right time.
I know. That's the reason I'm asking our attorney that question.
Attorney Eldridge, it's important that you speak into the microphone tonight. I'm sorry. For the record, thank you.
It's a hard question to answer for several reasons. One, the applicant's attorney previously represented that it's a floating easement, but I'm looking at an offer and judgment that decides in favor of the easement being there, and it's got enough physical descriptions in it that it can be located on the ground, so I would not necessarily agree that it's a floating easement. But what I've also heard is the applicant is committed to providing an easement for ingress and egress to Mr. Benton. One of the things that the council may want to consider, well, let me make another point about this easement. The only evidence that I see regarding this easement is a photocopy of an offer and judgment. In other words, I don't see an easement agreement. I don't see an easement deed. I don't see a recorded instrument. I see an offer. I see an order and a judgment. In order, if the applicant's committed to providing an easement to Mr. Benton, and we don't have yet a recorded instrument in support of that easement, council may want to consider as a condition to granting the special use permit an agreement that can be recorded in the register of deeds between the owner of the subject property and Mr. Benton, where it clarifies any gray areas about that.
Pasky?
Do you have a problem if council decides to go that way?
Well, I think this might be a non-issue.
Can you enlighten this path?
So, there is a 5-foot sidewalk from here to here. He can use the sidewalk undisturbed on the side of the building. I mean,
it still respects his easement. He's able to ingress and egress. And I would like to clarify, I didn't intentionally misrepresent anything.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to suggest that you were.
But of course, I just want to put that on the record that I believed it to be that. I say that I believed it to be that, but I have not seen that judgment. Unfortunately, I must have missed it in my research.
Are you familiar with this easement? Because I simply don't understand it. What is it that provides ingress and egress to?
Just access from the back of my lot to Fort Fisher Boulevard. That's basically all it is.
Precious.
And to the sidewalk?
At one time, there was a fence up that blocked.
Correct.
So that was, that started the whole thing, and it.
Do you agree with the attorney's statement that using the sidewalk accomplishes the purpose of that?
It does.
And I also would like to clarify and offer, we intend to put a fence along that back line and some shrubbery to try to frame noise or create it for your environment. What we can do is put a gate on that fence so that Mr. Bolton here can access his easement without any kind of disturbance.
So let me just make sure I've got this clear. The applicant's attorney and the easement holder, Mr. Benton, agree that the use of the sidewalks accomplishes the intent of the pedestrian easement that you currently hold. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And your follow-up comment was with the shrubbery and the buffer, then you'll ensure Mr. Benton's ingress and egress over that sidewalk location of the easement by providing a gate and, I guess, a way for Mr. Benton to open and shut that gate.
Yes.
So, anything else? Council may want to consider that.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this may all not have anything to do with granting a special use permit, but it has to be addressed at some point.
I think it does. I agree with the attorney. It's like. So one, I appreciate you guys worked it out. That's how it should happen in a small town. But I think when you got the judgment, it should have got recorded between you and Miss the Nelsons, but it didn't, or we can't find it. We need to want to make sure you guys do that this time, so future council doesn't have to deal with this, right? So I agree with the attorney.
We've got an order and a judgment that's a matter of public record in the courthouse. We don't have a recorded instrument.
That's right.
But what I'm hearing is the parties, Mr. Benton and the applicant, agree that the use of the sidewalks, which are shown in the site plan, accomplishes what that easement provides.
Correct.
So I think that if council decides to grant a special use permit, that one of the conditions of providing that special, granting that special use permit, is to ensure
document
that
Mr.
Benton has the ingress and egress easement
recorded property. That's right.
Okay.
Like
that. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
And that's basically why I'm here.
Great.
Good.
Perfect. Glad we could work it out.
So,
okay.
Everything okay?
I think so.
Okay. So, thank you. Thank you, guys. So, the next item, we have no other witnesses tonight. So, next, item six is examination of witnesses by counsel and the applicant.
Well, you kind of already did that.
And we kind of already done that, but I wanted to give everybody the last chance to have any other questions for the applicant or for any of the witnesses.
No, I have no questions.
No further questions.
Okay. All right. Well, it takes care of rebuttal then. We don't have any. So,
I'll walk you through the next part.
Okay, thank you, sir.
This is where we're going to use our decision worksheet.
Yes. You all have your worksheet.
No,
we
don't have one.
You have one. I printed one out, so from our
sir. I have it electronically.
Okay,
yes.
All right. So go ahead, Jim.
All right. This is what we have left to do. We have. council has to make findings of fact, and while we make those findings of fact, we're going to leave the hearing open in case council, if not anybody else, has any further questions to follow up with the applicant or Mr. Benton or Ms. White. So the hearing will stay open for that limited purpose while we go through these findings. Once we make those findings, we'll close the hearing and come up with conclusions and proceed on to the decision. So on the decision worksheet, I've actually taken the liberty of providing some of the findings already, simply because all the documents and all the parties, everybody agrees on. For example, finding of fact is the applicant's name and the address of the property, Seamus Suites LLC, 106 Fort Fisher Boulevard South. Finding of fact number two, what is the applicant's interest in the property? We have an exhibit that informs us that Seamus Suites LLC owns that property. Number three, what is the proposed special use? That's never been, that's clear from top to bottom. Retail on the bottom and residential units on top. I also mentioned that what the top two floors envision are residential units and not tourist lodges, residential units. What is the Department of Development and Compliance's opinion on the proposed special use? If I remember Ms. White's testimony correctly, all code requirements have been complied with, including the parking plans. Are you satisfied? That's the blank. Are you satisfied with that particular
Yes.
Now, the next four items are the four elements that they have to prove. And what we're going to do for each of those is vote on them rather than reach a consensus.
Okay.
Okay.
And we'll need a motion once we, for example, I've given you a sample motion. I move that council makes a finding of fact that, and we'll go to number six, the proposed special use will or will not materially endanger public health, safety, or welfare. So someone can make the motion and use the will or the will not.
Okay, so we'll entertain a motion for number six.
Make a motion that the proposed special use will not materially endanger public health, safety, or welfare if located where proposed.
Have a motion. Do I have a second?
I second.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
Do you need the evidence in this part as part of the motion?
I'll take care of that when I write the decision.
Okay. Thank you.
Next one would be we need a motion make a finding of fact as to the proposed special use does or does not meet all required conditions and specs under the town code.
Make a motion that proposed special use does meet all the required conditions and specifications under the town code.
I second that.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you. Next one would be a motion to make a finding of fact as to whether the proposed special use will or will not injure the value of adjoining properties.
I make a motion that proposed special use will not injure the value of adjoining property.
I second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
And then finally,
motion passes.
A motion to make a finding of fact as to the whether the proposed special use is developed and used as proposed, will or will not be harmonious and compatible with the area in which it is proposed to be located, and is generally consistent with the town's comprehensive plan.
Make a motion that proposed special use, if developed and used as proposed, will be harmonious and compatible with the area in which it is proposed to be located, and is generally consistent with the town's comprehensive land use plan.
I second that. I
have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Now, Mayor, before we get to the conclusions, we'd ask you to close the hearing at this time.
Okay. We'll entertain a motion to close the hearing.
Make a motion to close the hearing.
I second that.
Motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. This hearing
is closed. Going back to your decision worksheet on conclusions, again, I took the liberty couple of them. As the owner of the property, the applicant has standing to apply for the requested special use permit. Council okay with that finding?
Yes.
Yes.
Number two, under KBC 15.08.080.B.2, town council shall hear and decide a special use permit, et cetera, et cetera, and may impose reasonable and appropriate conditions to safeguards when granting a special use permit. That's a conclusion based on statute and town's code. You okay with that particular
yes.
conclusion?
Yes.
Do you need a motion for a vote or
no?
No,
not proposed.
Okay.
Those are just proposed consensus for.
Yes, sir.
But we will need one for number four. The applicant has or has not shown that each of the four requirements have been met.
So is this when we add any?
No, not yet.
Okay. I make a motion that the council grant the special use permit.
Well, let's back up a minute. Let's have a motion as to whether the applicant has
each of the four.
Four.
Okay. I make a motion that the applicant met condition one. The proposal will not materially endanger the public health, safety, or welfare if located where proposed.
So since they met all four, entitled.
You want to do all four?
Yeah, you can do all four. The applicant has.
We've covered.
So what motion do you need at this point?
At this point, you're going to make a motion.
Sorry, I didn't jump in. Make a motion the applicant has shown that each of the four of the requirements set forth in number three have been met.
Have a motion. Do I have a second?
I second it.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passed.
You can propose a motion for the decision and any conditions you wish to.
So I make a motion that the only condition be to formalize the verbal agreement for the pedestrian easement between Mr. Benton at 117 South 3rd Avenue and CMIS LLC as agreed upon verbally during the meeting.
To formalize the agreement?
You need to document it. So what they didn't do last time and you didn't find was the easement as it should have been done. So in my opinion, and I know I'm not a lawyer, but if Billy and Shirley Nelson and Mr. Benton would have went and put the easement in like they should have on the property, you would have found it, and we wouldn't be here at the end, right?
So my question is, is there a difficulty in coming up with a simple easement agreement, and you could actually locate it on those sidewalks?
The agreement could be that you're not going to lock the gate that you're going to put in. I just said formalize it. I'm not saying what that is. But it should be formalized so that Mr. Benton's grandson in 10 years and your son are fighting over access, right?
We're willing to put the condition to formalize building the gate, his access to the gate. We can report that. As to the location of the easement, I believe it was my mistake that I was
that's fine.
Located, but it is recorded. So I don't want to be redundant and re-record.
Right, so that's why I said it the way I did, formalize, is you guys have an agreement in writing that we can find in the future.
We're all talking different languages here. Hang on.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'm talking engineering speak instead of legal speak.
No, that's not what I mean.
I believe it's recorded in...
This is the only... Yeah.
I don't think there is any...
I've got a word for a reason. I just thought it was...
There's something
like it's a judgment.
There's a deed from 1913.
Right.
That records an easement. I will forward it to you, yes. The problem why I couldn't locate it on there is, I don't know if you've ever read legal documents.
I have, unfortunately.
They're difficult when they're written today.
Agree.
When they're written in 1913, might as well be French.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Let me make a suggestion.
Okay.
Let's have the attorney provide Ms. Chase with a copy of the 1913 and for council to impose the following condition. Special use permit is granted on the condition that Mr. Benton and his successors in interest have an easement, a pedestrian easement for ingress and egress as shown by the recorded instrument. I'll work on that language, but the 1913 would be probably worse. I just want to see something recorded. Is
that takes care of it at a time. Otherwise,
that's
it
right.
doesn't take care of it.
I think it's very simple.
Yeah.
That's why I said it.
I think the first option will work best. I'll find that key. I have it not on me now, but I have it in my office, and I'll be able to forward it to you and work out the other on that.
So can our motion be a very general to work out the easement?
That's why I said it exactly how I said it. So I know I'm not a lawyer, but I'm an engineer. And I said, formalize the verbal agreement that you guys just did for the pedestrian easement between Mr. Benton and CMS LLC. I didn't say how you formalize it. I didn't say you had to put an easement on a map. You have to formalize it because, unfortunately, I've been here for 60 years, and when neighbors come start fighting over stuff, they eventually come back to town council, right?
So if we find that 1913 easement deed serves the purpose, that's the formalization.
If Mr. Benton's comfortable as formalized and you're comfortable as our town attorney, then yes, that's why it says formalized.
And that's where it will say that the gate will be in the property and all that.
Or whatever, right? Formalized is just you guys write it down.
Yeah.
It doesn't say how, just says formalize it.
Just, you know, just put a little finer point on it. Can we just say formalize the access through a gate to an already existing easement? Just, I want to be very, very particular.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think that's fair.
I mean, I'll say it how you guys want me to say it.
Look, here's the issue. We've got to make sure we've got an easement. It sounds like we might through the 1913 deed. If we don't, we'll figure out some simple easement agreement that we can both live with. The second issue is the gate. When I write the decision, I'll describe the conditions, and for that particular aspect of the condition, it will be to ensure that Mr. Benton and his successors in interest with respect to the pedestrian easement, that the applicant will ensure ingress and egress 24/7. I'll come up with the right language.
Okay.
But
fine.
It'll be in the
That's all I ask, right?
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, so where are we?
So do you need a motion for that?
Do you mean you need a motion?
Do you need a motion for that?
Yeah.
Will you make
so what do you want me to say so I can say the right thing? Because I thought what I was saying was pretty good.
You did make a motion.
Right. I thought I was saying pretty good stuff, but obviously not. So.
I would entertain a motion that I'll pretend I'm one of you guys. I make a motion for council to grant the special use permit subject to the following conditions: that a pedestrian easement in favor of Mr. Benton and his successors in interest is maintained, comma, formalized, comma.
Okay.
You can just say what you said.
Beth, you getting all this?
Yeah. I make a motion per what the attorney just said, that he works out in the conditions that the two parties formalize access.
Yes.
Okay.
I second that. Okay.
Do we need to beat this up anymore?
I'm not sure I'm going to vote for this.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Opposed? Okay, motion passes.
Close the hearing.
The hearing is closed.
Make a motion, we close the hearing.
All right.
Second.
Use that gavel.
And the hearing is closed then. All in favor say aye.
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 Hearing is closed. Thank you guys. Appreciate your ability.
Thank you and look forward to your project.
Thank you.
Your card.
Don't forget your card, sir.
Yeah, grab one now.
Okay, at this time I'll need to entertain a motion to go back to open session.
Make a motion to return to open session.
Have a motion.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right.
Back to business.
Okay. Okay, then.
Hold on, wait a minute. We make a motion to approve the conditional use permit. It started out at the beginning and then we went off. It did say, if you read back, you take it. I make a motion we approve the conditional use permit subject to the one condition.
There's a condition. I thought it'd be that's what the motion was.
Well, go ahead now. Ask for a second.
Hold on,
She She needs it, so we have it right.
I second that motion.
Wait, Jim said to hold up a minute.
Okay. Let's go without Jim. We'll vote again.
I thought we were voting to approve them.
I thought that's what I said before we wandered off. Maybe I didn't say it right the last time. She's good at catching us. So.
I know.
We got to vote first, and then we'll take a recess. We have a motion and
a
second.
Why do we need
there.
A recess?
I don't know.
Probably take because everyone's.
All right, Jim.
Because they're all too far.
Jim.
Because we lost our voice.
Yeah.
Okay, so Jim,
she's waiting. We're waiting for you to tell us to do it. It did at the beginning.
Yeah,
I don't think it did at the end. I trust Beth. So we get it right. Let's just do it one more time. It won't cost.
Do you want us to?
This is where my impatience slows me, kills me.
First thing we're going to do when we come back,
where have we gone?
We closed.
And we haven't left anywhere. That's right.
Didn't we close the session?
Yeah, and now we're in open meeting.
So now we're ready to go to committee business?
Yes.
Well yeah.
First we got to make sure we do this right.
Okay.
I mean, I thought the same thing.
Well, that's fine. If I didn't say it right.
No, I thought the same thing when we got to.
I did too.
Thank you, Mayor.
We good?
Yep.
Okay.
All
right. Moving forward. Committee business. Bike Ped Advisory Committee. Any report?
No report this evening, Mayor.
Okay. Community Center Committee? Nothing? Okay. Historical Preservation Commission?
Not yet.
Marketing Committee? Anything?
Nothing to report.
Okay. Planning and Zoning Commission? Now I know Byron's got something.
Oceanfront Technical.
So this is a topic that theoretically could have had a text amendment presented tonight, but I don't think that's what we're really going to want to do. We would really just like to take this as an opportunity of giving you guys some input around things that we have talked about, think is the right direction to go on this particular topic, and then be better prepared at next month's meeting to actually do some type of enactment, whether it be a text amendment, deletion, whatever it might be. This topic came about somewhat innocently, in full disclosure, really from just personal interest. We have an oceanfront property. We knew the change to the 60-foot setback, canvas setback, with the first line of vegetation rather than the static line. And over the winter had gotten with Bethany just to better understand what you can do with oceanfront properties. Our property sits back 120 feet back from the first line of vegetation. But again, canvas setback 60 feet. So there's another 60 feet. You know, what is the opportunity there? And so, again, Bethany did a tremendous amount of work, really kind of digging in. And then you get into, okay, there's a development line. There's a beach renourishment easement line, and so forth. So we really, again, took a lot of time just, you know, talking about it, shared information with planning and zoning. The only thing that currently exists today as far as doing anything within the easement, the beach renourishment easement, is there's a provision, it's 11.20.10, and it allows for 250 feet of unattached decking to be within 15 feet of the easement line. But there's a secondary condition that it has to be within 5 feet of the canvas setback. Well, as I think Bethany could attest, there's not a single property in Curie Beach that would have that opportunity. Again, 60 feet setback from a canvas standpoint, most of the easements are well beyond that, not certainly within 5 feet. And even if you then thought about it, okay, you've got the opportunity of going 15 feet in the easement, but if it's within 5 feet of the canvas setback, you'd be 10 feet into the canvas setback, which camel wouldn't allow. So that particular condition doesn't make sense. So that's something that we want to, again, talk with you about, bring it to your attention, and know that we have a couple options here. One is we can delete it altogether, which would mean that any easement request, you know, encroachment into the easement would come to council, and you would deal with it on an exception basis, which I know from a historical standpoint, from a Curie Beach standpoint at least, we like to kind of standardize things as opposed to having a lot of exceptions. And so that's one thing to take into consideration. The other would be to just eliminate the 5 foot within the canvas setback condition so that folks would certainly not be able to go into anywhere into the canvas setback, but yet could theoretically encroach into the easement. And I think the only opportunity that that really makes sense for, or at least probably was why that condition was created, was back in 2019, council put formality around the fact that we were no longer going to allow pools within the easement. And so I think the thinking was is that if you put a pool all the way up to the easement line, but then you wanted to have some decking around the pool, you could have the decking encroach into the easement slightly. But again, like I said, it would never happen with that current setback on the 5 foot from a canvas standpoint. So again, it really kind of comes down to probably either elimination altogether, and you got to deal with it on an exception basis, or we at least clean up the current language to allow it, but again, just with that 15 feet into the setback limitation, 250 square feet max, has to be detached, with the understanding that anybody that were to build it, in the event that the Army Corps of Engineers came in and said, you know, we've got issues with the dune, with our storm drainage, whatever it might be, and we need that removed, it can be removed independently as opposed to being attached to existing residence structure. But even, either way we go, whether we take it out altogether, we make that modification, it's clear we need some help. You know, we're not dealing with this issue just by ourselves, right? Every coastal community is dealing with this. And I think what makes better sense long-term is for us to kind of tap into some professional expertise that we could get access to. I think probably from a council standpoint, you all have worked with some of those folks in the past that maybe you could engage us with to get the conversation started, and then be able to understand how other coastal communities deal with this topic. And again, the topic being is you've got a big gap between the canvas setback and typically where properties lie, and what are towns allowing to happen, you know, within that area. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, any questions?
I think that's the correct way to go with it. I'm just speaking for myself. I don't want to have individualized people coming up and we're dealing with on an individual, you know, case by case basis. I'd rather have something that's pretty well set.
I agree.
I agree with that.
Bethany, you think Brian with a, you know, with our, you think Brian would be a good person to talk with? That's our that took Leighton Place. I lost his last name. Brian Hall. Yeah, Hall.
Oh, about the easement?
Yeah, but do you think he would be a resource for us?
I'm not sure. What's his current?
I mean, he worked for CAMA prior to becoming a county employee. Well, he may be able to point us in the right direction or something. I'm just throwing that out there.
I mean, he might, you know, he might have some say. I'm sure he's not going to. This is a town easement, so this is protection over our easement.
Right.
We were allowing pools in there. We were allowing a lot of stuff. We put a stop to that. I think that's important to know. I also want to be clear in that we did discuss it at the planning and zoning meeting, and there was motion granted to delete the ordinance, which is my recommendation. I know you don't want to hear it on a case-by-case basis, but the rest of our easements are that way, and that puts a lot of burden on me to make a decision on what should be allowed into this easement. So what I did was I rewrote for Byron kind of what I would do to change the ordinance if you want to leave it in there. But what we need to decide is how much are you going to allow people to go into this easement? Because now we can no longer go in that 5 foot. The way it was written was very specific to the times, and I think it was purposefully written so that it would only apply to maybe 5 or 6 houses in that Sea Watch division. And that was prior to the lawsuit where they changed the development line, or tried to change the development line. So it doesn't really apply as written anymore.
So what is the easement for, though? It was the beach renourishment easement,
it's
right?
The beach renourishment.
So the town doesn't have any water, sewer, stormwater through the easement going longitudinally down the beach, correct, Jimmy? So we have no services in that easement.
We have no platted streets.
We have no platted streets. We have no emergency egress going long ways, right? So we do have other easements that go to the ocean, right? And so from my standpoint, protecting the easement, the Army Corps of Engineers, and the fact that we make it, give you guidance to make it detachable and removable at your risk, just like any of our other easements, right? The other easement, the easement down Settlers is important to me because we have a stormwater and sewer system running behind Settlers, behind these houses. So that's why I've protected that one. Maybe brutally, some people would say, up here. But this easement, from a public works perspective, Jimmy and I don't really care about it, right? The Corps of Engineers is going to protect us for it. So once we're past why the easement's there, then, you know, I think you guys tell me what you want to do, because, you know, if you want to put something on risk on your property because it's your property and you have to remove it if we tell you to remove it, the easement's good for me. Right, and the Corps of Engineers will remove it and charge you for it if you don't remove it fast enough, if it's a beach renourishment issue, or Jimmy and I will, right? Mm-hmm. So the protection for that easement is so we support beach renourishment. If the Corps of Engineers doesn't care, and I maybe we should ask them.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, I think we asked.
I think that's the question, is if a bunch of stuff pops up out there, are you guys going to care or not?
Yeah.
Right? It's on the backside of their dune, so I'm thinking they would not, but I think before I would vote on it, I would ask them. Because they know we have it.
Why don't you reach out to Brian, see what get his take, since he is our shoreline protection guru now, Sandman, and then with Bob Kiesler with the Corps of Engineers.
Yeah, my only concern is, I know we had one complaint last couple of years ago about a walkway that was built interfering with another resident's view. And the question is, how much gets built back there and what impact is that going to have on neighbors and other people along the way? So I think it's got to be some limitations, some way in which we can control that.
I was going to bring that up, because that's the thing, is, I mean, even if you said, yeah, what do we care? I mean, yeah, the reality being is that, particularly like you said, the example that I have, there's 60 feet of space there, right? So yeah, so you start putting a bunch of decks in there and so forth, and then it changes the whole look of what we're along there, then you have other types of complaints that happen. And that's really where, I mean, I think, yeah, we need to know from an Army Corps engineer's perspective, certainly any other resources we can get. But yeah, I mean, like I said, we're not reinventing the wheel here, right? Coastal towns are dealing with this topic. It would be nice to know how other towns are dealing with it as well, and maybe get some guidance from that standpoint.
also think it's important to remember that when we got this beach management plan, it allows us to take the setback off of the first line of stable natural vegetation, which is why it looks like there's suddenly so much room.
Right.
When we get one major storm,
that's
that
right.
First line pushes all the way back to where these decks are going to be located. That's the purpose of this easement, is to protect that dune system.
Right. Well,
I mean,
I'm with you, right? So I just said that. That's why I said, I think it's not a public works easement, so public works doesn't have an opinion, but it is a beach renourishment easement. And so I think starting with Layton's Brian. And the Corps of Engineers is the right way to do before we do anything.
Okay.
I mean, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
we get an updated memo on what they...
That's right.
It looks like there's new leadership.
That's right. You guys should tell us what you think. We have an easement right now that we're protecting in our ordinances that people are questioning. What's your opinion on that?
And then if we decide that we're going to allow this encroachment into the easement, but just on my permitting basis, not to have to come in front of council, then I need a more formal form
right.
that we would be having
signed absolutely.
Saying that it's on their expenses.
That's right.
Okay.
Yep.
Because I don't think we have anything really formal right, for that.
And as Bethany said, Planning and Zoning's recommendation had been to just eliminate this provision and again have every easement request coming to you all.
Yeah.
And so I think
we want to be
we'll table
consistent.
That for now,
yeah.
Try to get more information and then come back when we got a better educated perspective.
Sounds good. Thank y'all for your work.
That was an interesting one.
Okay, shoreline access and beach protection. Anything you add?
No updates.
Okay. Stormwater committee, David, anything?
No, sir.
Tracy? Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Administration, Mandy?
Jimmy has fixed the pump that is in that one area, but we had a landscape person come out and give us the quote that you have in front of you to go more extensive with the drainage to prevent. We can't prevent anything from happening from a major storm, but we can make our system better for what we have, and I think it's a fair price to add this in. And I know that Public Works is busy and they're swamped, and but I feel like something needs to be done behind the building. So I'm asking council for approval to move forward with this project. We're gonna install another basin and more drainage and move it to the front of town hall where it's already coming out.
Mm-hmm.
The water's just getting back there and it's just ponding and it's just seeping in.
And we have no way of knowing exactly what's causing all this, but we have made improvements like along where the bathrooms are on the back side of the, so we may have fixed one problem and created another one.
We have gutters, but when you get so much rain at one time, the gutters overflow.
Yep.
So
I think this is the right step to take, y'all. And also we haven't heard back from them yet, but Arlen did receive a something from FEMA about a remediation and this possibility of putting some type of dams or something. We get ready to have a major storm over those doorways to keep water. So we're working on that with, and hopefully this, they've kind of gone solid on us, but we did get a letter, and what was it, $79,000? For us to use, I mean, the guy asked us, could we raise the building? If we ever get it. So we need to go ahead and do this. We don't need to wait.
I make a motion we approve the administrative
I want a question. I mean, it sounds like a reasonable solution here, but do we have any idea, is this going to be sufficient for even a small storm? I mean, how is it determined on how big to make this system?
Well, we had him come out and we showed him the mechanical room, and asked him, is there anything we can do in that mechanical room to make this better, to prevent, because we had sand packed in place and the water still came into the mechanical room. You can see where it came up on the wall. So we've got to have a way. So he's, the trench that he's talking about doing us is he'll build it up with rock and then it'll come in and trench out, and then there'll be a pipe that runs in that trench and it'll help collect that water and drive it out in a way. And I guess there's going to be a basin with a French drain. But I think any way that we can collect the water and get it out quicker.
That doesn't come back towards the building.
Right.
I understand the process. I understand what's going on. I'm just saying size-wise.
Like, is the sump pump powerful?
The sump pump, the size of the basin,
yeah,
the pipe, all of that stuff. Are you comfortable? Is that the best? Or if we're going to be spending $6,000, should we spend $10,000 make it bigger? I don't know.
I did ask him about removing the concrete pad that's in front of the mechanical room and building it as a slope so the water hits it at a higher level and runs down. But he replied back to me that he thought that this would manage that. I've walked it with Alan from the mayor, and you know, we talked about what the landscape guy wants to do back there, and he felt comfortable with it. I'm not an expert, but, and I can't guarantee that if we have a major storm that I won't have more flooding, but I mean, just a normal rainy Saturday.
Yes, sir.
So, I don't know, I'd have to rely on you, Jimmy, and David, if you think this is,
so
is this going to be helpful or not? Yeah. I mean,
it's bigger than the sump pump we have now. The piping is sized for the sump pump. I can do the calculation. I haven't looked at it, but you could calculate what amount of rainfall this would support, right? Is it 1 inch an hour or 2 inches an hour?
Yeah, but
that's the calculation, where, right?
Yeah.
Again, and then it's a,
where's it all draining from? That's,
well, that, it's that, all off the roofs because this is a U, so all those roofs are peaked roofs. So it's half of these buildings all the way around this.
Okay.
That's where it's all draining from.
Okay.
And the cell tower property is higher than us.
Right.
So it's just coming there, it's coming off the roof, and it's like coming and just making a trough of water.
Right. And we're not sure they have contributed to that.
So do they have any responsibility?
No.
I mean, if it's draining towards the building.
Okay. No, I mean, that tells the building.
Well, and it may not have always been higher, but I think it's eroded back there as well.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, I make a motion that we approve admin's request.
I have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anybody opposed? Motion passes. Thank you, Mandy.
I have one more thing.
Okay.
So we had to change our benefits when the league dropped their medical side of their insurance coverage that they were providing, and we had to go with another group. And one of the conditions when we hired people was that their dental, vision, short-term disability, and long-term disability, and their supplemental life insurance would not become active for 30 days after hire. And that was with the league. But now that we've gone with this new group, we don't have a choice in when it actually starts. It'll actually mirror our health insurance starts the first of the month following date of hire. So if you're hired on the 15th, the first of the following month. So those benefits are now gonna mirror our health insurance. I don't know why it was set up differently. I wasn't here when that happened 100 years ago, but now it's,
but it's better for our new employees, not worse.
It's better,
right?
For our employees. Yeah. It does pose a little bit of liability, I guess, for the town, but we're talking 15 days, 20 days. So I just want to make council aware that that is a change with our benefits, that we didn't really have an option to choose differently, and that I will be amending the personnel policy to reflect that.
And new hires will know that they don't have those benefits until the total. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Bethany, you have anything else for us tonight?
I do not. Thank you.
Fire, Arlen, anything?
No,
fire, Ed, anything?
No, right.
Police, no, Brandy? No, Public Works, Jimmy. You know he's going to spend some time.
I just have a couple of updates. We finally almost finished in our asphalt repair work. Everything's looking good on the engineering's end, and also the asphalt company side of it. Also, I want to let council know that public work's been out on the north end of town, and we've so far jetted around 1,700 linear feet of storm pipe and ditches this month, so we'll continue that for the rest of the month. And that's pretty much it.
So when you say jetted, you're talking about pipes under driveways?
Yes,
and
sir.
That type of stuff.
Yes,
so I saw you guys out, just so everybody understands, I saw you guys out there the other day doing that.
Yes, sir. Working just as hard as we can.
And I was going to ask you a question. How are we coming on the water meters that have been that's been damaged?
We have ordered the water meters. I think Ian was checking on them today. I knew there was a lead way there, but we should be coming in pretty soon.
Okay. So, all right. We just need to get that. Need to get those squared away. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
I have a couple questions.
Yes, ma'am.
No, first is comment. Thank you for getting the boards fixed on 229 to 339 on Atlantic Avenue. We actually had some really big holes. You could actually put your foot for them, and they got that fixed. So thank you. We had a lot of people complaining about the asphalt and their driveways. Are we going to clean it up? I know it'll just eventually go away.
Yes, but I have reached out to three different. We've had like four driveways that I can't say that. Asphalt company done it, but I'm going to take responsibility of taking care of that, getting the asphalt off the driveway. So, okay. Yes, ma'am, I'm going to do all I can do to pressure wash it off. If not, eventually it will wear off.
Okay, yeah, eventually it will.
And I've been getting a lot of good compliments about the way the job. They said, "Oh, that's a good company you hired this time." So,
a lot of people thought it was a different company. I got that comment on the people back and forth Avenue. The last thing is, did you get a chance to take a look at with that intersection there at Curry View? Because you really can't see who is responsible.
Yes,
it's
ma'am.
Not our shrubs, but it's our.
I was talking with Bethany today about whose responsibility that would be. I haven't found out the situation yet, but the way I look at it, I understand that it's overgrown, but you got to also look that there is cars parked out on the street also. So once they start pulling out like that, you know, I really don't see the shrubbery. I know it needs to be trimmed back, but I don't think it's Public Works' responsibility.
Oh, no. I thought that we should contact Curry View HOA and say cut back your shrubs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
But there's one more thing. I did talk to John Basson today about doing some more of the walkway this year. I haven't even seen my email yet. I just talked to him in the parking lot, but I will be coming back to council with a quote of replacing that section that then.
Oh, where we just put a board here and a board there?
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you, Jimmy.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Jimmy, one more thing. I'm sorry. The temporary repair the town made for going at the north end of town to the outfall where it was collapsed, has NCDOT ever followed up on that with you?
I have reached out three different times. I'll reach out again to the guy. I have no response from them.
Where is it? It's at the north end of town of Myrtle, across on the east side where their catch basin that feeds into the pipe collapsed, and we did a temporary repair, but they should fix that.
Okay, so I emailed them last week to see where we were on the request we made.
Okay,
so
thank you.
I hadn't heard back from
them. Okay, between, just stay in touch with the mayor and I, because they need to get looking at that.
Okay.
And if I hadn't heard anything from DOT, I'll reach out again next week.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you, Jimmy.
All right, Nikki, anything?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. This is one quick introduction. Our Recreation Department intern, hailing from UNCW, is here tonight observing her first council meeting. So I just want this is Callie Donnelly. If you haven't had a chance to speak with her yet, she's been a tremendous asset to our department this summer. And that's all. Just wanted to make sure you all aware.
And welcome, Callie. She's a fixture already. She's got to get out in the real world. We have no old business or new business. Mayor updates. Just one thing, coffee with the mayor this Saturday, 9 to 11 here in the council chambers. And commission items. Dennis, anything?
No.
David?
No, sir. No.
Okay. Connie, anything?
No, nothing.
All right. We don't have a closed session, so I entertain a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn.
I second that.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.